I want to take you to Matthew chapter 19. And we're going to be talking about the rich young man and his choice. And a few weeks ago, I was listening to someone speaking on this subject, and I saw something that was really sweet and kind of neat. It says, verse 16, "Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, 'Teacher, what good things must I do to get eternal life?' 'Why do you ask me about what is good?' Jesus replied, 'There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments.'" Now you got to remember, he's talking to a Jew. A Jew is focused on all the commandments, amen? "Which ones?" the man inquired. And Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." Watch the response. "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" So he's saying, "I've done it all right. I. Got it? Digested that? Okay. He said, Jesus answered, 21, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me." Now, how many people did he say that to? Very, very few. Most that wanted to follow him, he sent them home. But this one had an open door. Could be your vision. Watch. Okay? "When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.'" Now, let's stop there because that's an idiom. How many know what an idiom is? It's like the little saying that my grandson uses, "Dumb as a box of rocks." If that was written 2,000 years ago, they probably couldn't have understood a box. But today, it's very common. People have boxes everywhere. The eye of a needle was actually a door that was used during the Sabbath day. And it was in the wall, secret. And people would actually have to unload all their stuff off the camel and then reload it. And I have a Bible that God allowed me to purchase years ago about all the idioms. And it's kind of neat because it shows you that Jesus was using the idioms of that day to kind of get through. In other words, it's going to be a really take off all your wealth. Okay? Because that's what he's telling them. Because anybody who came in through that eye of a needle had to unload and reload after they went through, and probably came in through the door, probably like the camel would have to get on his knees to crawl through. So it's also a point of humility. But verse 25 goes right to the heart of the matter. "When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, 'Who then can be saved?' Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible.' Peter answered him, 'We have left everything to follow you,'" with attitude. "What then will there be for us?" I lived in that space for a season. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, at the renewal of all things, at the renewal of all things, where are we living right now? We're on the edge of that renewal. When the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and everyone who has left those houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life as a bonus. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. Now you say, what does that have to do with you and me?
A lot.
Some of you have paid a price to be here. Some of you are still paying because you keep coming. And it is, let's say, uncomfortable sometimes to try to explain it away. And the more you try, the more you dig yourself into a hole and and it gets worse. And even in that type of persecution, which was the experience of the disciples, I mean, I could just hear Peter's wife. You know, you barely gave us enough to eat last month. Where are you? You know, you've been gone almost 3 years, and you're still hanging out with that guy. I know he healed my mother, but big deal. Are you catching on? And sometimes they get weary, just like you and me. But when the renewal came, it didn't get any easier for them, because the Pentecost that they tasted brought more persecution. Yes, there was boldness. Acts chapter 2 verifies it. Peter was no longer afraid, but was the pressure off his wife? Was the pressure off his kids? Entering the kingdom is when you come to a place where everything around you falls apart, but you stay at peace. Because the peace nobody can steal. Circumstances may come and go, and you remain at peace. And you flow to the best of your ability. And you stay quiet before Him. And you do what He tells you to do. And then wait. And as you wait, He keeps renewing you and restoring you and recreating you. So I would say to you that you have chosen maybe a difficult walk. Maybe it's uncomfortable sometimes. And it creates a lot of questions. But the grace and the payoff is eternal. And I can just see my dream again that I was sharing with you earlier, where I had this vision of, in my mind, this individual was so high in the Lord. So I thought. Because they had been brought up in a Christian home, with all the scriptures being constantly a part of their life. And I learned later from that dream that I was going right above them. And I couldn't believe that that could happen to me. So the dream was really dealing with my unbelief. And I believe that Jesus was dealing with this young ruler, young, rich ruler, and his unbelief.
Because he couldn't trust.
He had a lot of wealth and a lot of authority. And his position was to stay with the status quo. It's called the Valley of Decisions for many. Those of you who listen to this message, I would say that cry out for grace every step of the way when you have this kind of scripture in front of you. And look at it and see what the Holy Spirit tells you concerning what you should be doing and how you should be going forward. And not stay in deception or questioning yourself to the best of your ability. I shared with you when the night before our cousin went home to be with Jesus, they were singing a song, which was the song that brought life into my heart. And it was, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And when you decide to follow, you will pay a price. You will. It's inevitable. You know. And some will be greater than others. But I can tell you the benefits are awesome. Because nobody can pay what Jesus will pay for those that do follow him 100%. And that doesn't mean you won't fall. That doesn't mean that you might not fail like Peter. But I guarantee you, Jesus has already prayed for you. He's already prayed for you, and he will take you to the finish line. So be at peace. Stay focused. And declare it boldly. Say, Lord Jesus,
I have decided
to follow you.
I'm not turning back.
Thank you for the grace.
For every step.
May be difficult. But I'm not doing it alone.
But I'm not doing it alone.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And amen.